time to show the world that top is what I strive for. Greatness is a journey I'm willing to strive for. Consistency is key and I don't take no time off. Against the odds, I put it all on the line for. A lesson learned for every flaw I'm gonna make. Consequence I undertake, putting all my trust in fate. Failure won't become my fate. 10 toes down, I never fold. Give it all to reach my goal. As my name is stone, but my story's told. Say I did it for the...
You to be inside this time to come before your presence, this time to worship with you, this time to hear from you, God. I ask you just to get in this word, get in this sermon, Father God. Let somebody be touched, delivered, set free, and enlightened to go on and do what you've called them to do, God. Hide me under your cross. I hide myself, God. Let them not see me, hear me, but see you and hear you. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. All right. All right. A little Pentecostal there for a minute there. Got hyped up after that video. All right. So thank you so much for joining with us. I love you guys. We are going to jump right in and continue where we started last week. Where, you know, we talked about, you know, continue on and do our best and do what God has called us to do. And we're going to say, you know, you think about, when you're trying to train, or when you're trying to make yourself better, you're trying to you try to get yourself out of the Egypt, get out of the past, and do what God's called you to do. We talked about being disciplined and doing what, you know, giving up what you want now to what you want to be later on. And we're going to continue on along that line. And you figure out, you know, as you go through life, as you go through this year, and you may have started resolutions and may have started promises and different things that you wanted to do better. You wanted to live right better. You wanted to take life, even enjoy the flowers, enjoy life. And just, you know, after 2020, you want to enjoy what the time you have with your friends and family. So you want to make yourself, you want to do better, and sometimes make resolutions and promises, and sometimes we keep them, sometimes we don't. It's February 14th, and I like to wish all of our couples, all of our loved ones out there a happy Valentine's Day. I think this is a great time to express your love for your loved ones, express those in your life that you love them. Take the time to call somebody, to text somebody, to tweet somebody that you love them. You know, it's been said that this holiday is made by corporate America to, you know, to make more money, just make you spend more money to buy flowers and candies and all that other stuff. But if you love your spouse, if you love your wife, you should sell them all the year long. You don't have to wait for a special day. So Holly Welly, I love you. Mom, dad, I love you. Sisters, brothers, cousins, I love you guys. Nephews, nieces, I love you guys too, all of them. Do I say my kids? I love my kids too, yeah. Love my kids too. All right. So you want to do better, and you figure out it's hard to do right. It's hard because like I said last week, is we're at a war with our body, is at a war with our soul, at a war with our mind. And there's a big turmoil going on in the inside, getting you to try and take control over what your body does. And you just figure out what happens. Why it's hard to do things. It's hard to change. It's like, so you ask God, or you ask yourself even, why can't I change? And it's like, I try to do right, and I don't. I try to not do wrong, and I end up slipping up, and I try to do this, and I don't. I want to eat the right things, but I don't. I want to hang out with the right people, but I don't. And it's like, it's hard to change. And it's like I said last week, it takes discipline. And we're going to talk about this week. It also takes training. And it's not, you know, it's okay. It's training. It's like we're in a race. We train for a race. We're trained to we're all in a race for our lives. We're all in a race to do what God's called us to do. Well, and God called us to run this race until the end. If you look in the book of 1 Corinthians, starting with the 9th chapter, starting with the 24th verse, it says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So that means we have to train our bodies. We have to discipline our bodies. I mean, everybody is disciplined that runs this race. All athletes don't just get up there and start running. We train, and you take time to eat the right things, and you take time to get up early in the morning and train, and you work out, and you do your calisthenics, and you do stretching, and you do all that stuff to train to win. That's the purpose, is to win, is to win. And so we are in that race too. Our purpose is to win the race, to get the eternal prize, not just to get a gold medal or a silver medal or bronze medals, or to get that first prize. You want to train to win. You want to train yourself so that you win the race that you win. Everybody wants to win the race. Nobody wants to be a loser, right? Everybody wants to be a winner. The great car racer, Ricky Bobby, had a saying. He said, "If you ain't first, you're last." Makes sense. You know, there's no second place. The second place is the first winner, first loser, basically. Either you win or you lose, you know, in a race. It's like, you know, if you ain't first place, you're last. And then that's just as good. Second, third, fourth, it's just, for him, it makes sense, right? So if you take that approach to the life that you're in, take that approach to the race that you're in. Take that approach to achieving the goals that God has for you, to achieving your purpose. Achieve it to win. Don't just do it half-heartedly. Don't just do it halfway. Don't just like, okay, I try today and I give up. You know, I do it today. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like living right. I don't feel like accomplishing the goals God had for me. I just, you know, God knows my heart. I just, you know, I'll give up. Maybe I'll try tomorrow. No. Get up, win, keep going. Get up, win, keep going. It may seem monotonous, it may seem boring, it may seem not fun, it may seem it's not pleasing. Get up and keep going until you win. Because you're running a race for an eternal prize that God has promised us.
Yes.
And you ask yourself, well, then what can I do? I can't change. I can't win. It's like what happens is I do this, I do that, and it doesn't work. Well, here's the thing. It's because we're trying for too long. We're trying for too long. It's like, well, I'll try this. I tried that, and it didn't work. I tried this diet. It didn't work. I tried this ministry. It didn't work. I tried this job. It didn't work. But we're trying too long. We're trying, in air quotes. But basically, what's trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. It's an event. It's actually trying to change. It's like an attempt to change with minimal commitment. Well, I'll try. You know, somebody asked you, I'm having this event tomorrow, and I want you to come to it. And you know good and well, you don't want to go. So what do you say? You don't tell the person no. You say, well, I'll try to make it. Knowing you good and well, you're not going to try nothing. You're just going to turn right on over and go right to sleep. So that's what basically we try to live right. We try to do what's right. It's an attempt at doing something to make a change with minimal commitment. Well, I tried. And if you tried, it didn't work. Well, I tried. And that's your out. So what that does, trying gives room to fail. Trying gives room to fail. It means that I tried it. And if it didn't work, hey, that's a part of trying. It does. Sometimes you try and it works. Sometimes you try and it doesn't work. At least I tried. And that gives room for failure. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to fail. He wants us to not to be committed. He wants us not to be wholehearted. He wants us not to be all in. He wants us to try. He's okay if we try to do what God's called us to do, because there is room for failure. But we don't want to try this year. We want to train.
That's good.
We don't want to try this year. We want to train. And what training is, it's a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. Training is a whole heart, is your whole heart. You're all in, and it's a commitment. I'm committed at this thing. I'm training to live a better life. I'm training to have a better marriage. I'm training to do what God's called me to do. I'm training to be that man, to be that woman that God has called me to be. So come hell or high water, I'm committed. I'm all in. And if nobody is, I'm there by myself, I'm all in. If I don't take anybody with me, I'm all in. I'm training. I'm committed. I'm all in. I'm wholeheartedly committed to achieve that specific goal that God has for you. So this year, we're not going to train. We're going to try. We're not going to try. We're going to train. Amen. And so, and what happens is when you try, your feelings are in it, play a part. Well, I don't feel like getting up today. I don't feel like doing that today. And that plays a part in your commitment. But when you're training, you're not acting according to your feelings. You're acting according to your commitment. So your word means more than how I feel. That promise that God had for me means more than how I feel. I'm sure Jesus could have said, I don't feel like getting on that cross today. I don't feel like it. They're cutting at me too hard. The chains and everything, the whip that they hit me with, and they're spitting on me and they're talking about me. I don't feel like getting on that cross. Jesus could have said that, but he was committed unto death. And so we have to live our life pattern after Jesus, like we talked about last week. We have to be committed until the end, until we reach that goal, until we get that prize, until we cross that finish line. No matter how hard it takes, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, or how difficult, how lonely you might be, keep committed. Keep committed. And if you, it's hard to keep that word, just ask God just to help you with that. He said, look, I want to be committed. I want to be committed to this. God, help me be committed. You know, help my unbelief. And I want to be better. I want to be what you've called me to be. I want to go further. I want to go further in you. I want to know you more. I want to trust you more. I want to get in that cycle of trusting you more. So this is a wholehearted committed. And your feelings don't play a part. So no matter if I don't feel like it, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go. Recently, my old college basketball coach, John Chaney, died. And we, through our college, I would watch the basketball players. They would get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go out to practice. It's dark outside. It's cold because it's in the wintertime. And they're going to McGonagall. They're going to the McGonagall Hall to practice. And they were committed at that thing. 5 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else is just still sleeping and sleeping in. But they're getting up. They're committed to go to play, to go practice. And it's a practice a certain way. And at Temple, you played a certain way. You weren't like big stars. You weren't like big flashy things like that. And, you know, the defense was key, you know. And when I was there, they were so committed that they were actually ranked number one in the country. And we went to the NCAAs. We went to the quarterfinals and we did well. But and because of that commitment in the beginning of the season, 5 o'clock in the morning, everybody else is still sleeping. Everybody else is coming in from partying and, you know, whatever. They're committed to walking across the street, walking downtown, walking in down Philly, across the snow or whatever to go practice. We got to be just as committed. There's a race for you to run.
Yes.
There's a calling for you. God is calling for you. He's called you for something for this reason. He's prepared you for this purpose. You're here for a reason. And you got to be committed to what God's called you to do. There's a promise at the end of the line for you. Amen. 1 Corinthians in that ninth chapter, the 25th verse, we're going to read that again. And I'm going to come out of the Amplified version just to give us a more meat and more depth to it. And it says, now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined. They're all disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. That's key. I have to control myself. If I can control myself, there's nothing that I cannot do. If you can control your habits, if you can control how you feel and how you react, if you can control your actions, there's nothing that you can't do through God. And allow the Holy Spirit to control yourself. Keith, I want to do this. I want to say that. And the Holy Spirit says, Keith, don't say that. Okay, I'm not. For it is written, I'm not gonna live that way. So control yourself and exercise self-control. Make that your strongest muscle. And I guarantee you'll achieve that goal that God's called you to be. And God's called you on. 1 Timothy 4, fourth chapter, start with the 7th verse. It says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. You can train yourself. Your physical training is good. I want you to be in health. God wants you to be in health and even as your soul and prosper, even as your soul prospers. So it's good to train your body and train your heart. Keep your heart healthy because you want to be as healthy as you can be to do what God's called you to do. But more importantly than that, you want to train your soul and train yourself to be godly. Because what happens is, like it or not, we're all going to leave this earth. And it's our spirit that is eternal. And if I live a life that's godly down here while I'm in this body, when I'm leaving this body, I'll be able to be with God eternally. So you're training yourself for a eternity of being with God. So we're only here for however many years in this body. And this bitch is going to break down and die. But we live, our soul inhabits this body and our soul lives forever. So we have to train our soul to be more godly, be more godlike. And training is basically doing what I can do today to enable me to do even more tomorrow. Training is doing what I can do today to enable me to do more, even more tomorrow. Like you train your body to work out and you're able to lift weights and you're able to lift 100 pounds today and you keep going. Before you know it, you're lifting at 120 and you're making gradual increments so that you'll be able to do more if you keep at it, if you're committed at that thing. You'll be able to run a mile or 2 miles today. Before you know it, you'll be able to run that marathon and that decathlon, and you can train yourself at a constant commitment to train your body, to train your soul. You know, I can go years, I can go time with, you know, I get up every morning and pray. I get up every morning to read the word. And if you keep at it and be committed at that thing, even when you don't feel like it, you're going to do it. Yeah. You get up and you read the word. I can't start the day without praying. I can't start the day without reading and talking to God because I get my assignments, my daily assignments from God. So train yourself. Train your mind to train your soul to be godly. And before you know it, it becomes more a habit, more you long for it. I need that time with God, and you long more time with God, and you want more and more time with God. Train yourself to be more godly. If you discipline yourself, body like an, you discipline my body like an athlete, that means I identify with an athlete. So when I look at myself, I don't see just flabby Keith or, you know, Keith with the dad bod or the father figure, but I see Keith with the athlete because I'm training myself. So if you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't see Keith the sinner or Keith the person that used to do that. But I see Keith called by God, child of God. Yes. I want to see the image of Christ in when I look in the mirror. Yes. So you want to train yourself so that you no longer look like you used to look like. You want to see more images of God. You want to see more of God's characteristics. You want to see more of his traits and his personality, his long-suffering, his peace, his joy, his everlasting love. Yes. We want to see more of us when we look in the mirror. Because when you're trying, you're hoping to be something that I'm not. But when you're training, you're getting better at what you already are. So if I identify as an athlete, if I identify as a child of God or an heir with Jesus, and I'm training, I'm getting better at what I already am. So I can be even better Christian. I can even be a better child of God. I can be a better saint. I can be a better what God has called me to be. If I identify with Christ, that's what you want to do. That's what we all want to do. We want to identify with Christ. We want people to see us. We want to see that looks like Christ. That looks like God. That looks like God love. And then we talked about this race. And the race that we're running is not a competition, but it's a compilation. It's not really just a competition where we're competing against one another. It's a compilation because we keep competing, not competing against one another. We're competing with one another. So we all run this race together. And there's no need for comparison because God has gifted us uniquely for a reason. Why? Because we're better together. One could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. So if we're operating at our best potential and my neighbors operate at their best potential, there's no telling what God can do through us. God's math, it doesn't work like our math. Well, 1 + 1 = 2 in our math. But in God's math, 1 × 1 is like an infinity. It multiplies and divides. We just add and subtract. Romans, the 12th chapter, starting with the 4th verse, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So I want to be the best me that I can be, and then you be the best you that you can be, and together we're the best body that we can be. So it behooves me to be at my best at all times. And it behooves you to be at your best at all times so that when we connect together, we can be our best for Christ. And we can do what God's called us to do because we're not struggling. We're not out of breath. We're not slipping and slide. We're not slipping up on things that, you know, elementary things that we could be, you know, should have overcome years ago. We're not making the same mistakes we used to make last year. Yes. We're stronger than we used to be. The things that used to hold us down don't bother us anymore. So if I'm operating at my top peak and you're operating at your top peak, we're stronger together. So this race we're running in is not just a competition, but it's a compilation. We're combined together. We are stronger together. Excuse me. Because Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So we're stronger together. So if we have those two irons rubbing together and working together, we're sharpening each other. Yes. And we come out stronger together. Yes. And that's what God calls us to do. That's what we want to do here. We are here, seeing here, see, reach one. We all are called to reach out to the ones next to us. And allow them to show them who God is and show God's love and grace and mercy to them so that we may all become stronger together. We are called to come to this world. We are called to run this race together. I have a race to run. You have a race to run. And we're here to help each other to be better. But we're not alone. Even when I'm working with you and you're working with me, we're never alone because God has sent his son, Jesus, down to work with all of us. To be that way, to be that light, to be that example, to save our souls so that we may be able to accomplish the race that we've been called. We'll be able to finish the race that God has laid on our hearts because of sin. Death has entered the picture and our race has been aborted, but through Christ, the race has been finished. we are already victorious through Christ. We just need to run our race. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to train ourselves so that we can be the person that God has called us to be from the beginning. When he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew what you could be. He knew your potential. But you need to work at it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be overnight. Sometimes it might be difficult, but you need to train. And we're here to work us together. We can be better together. Yeah. We can be stronger together. And I'll just use the example of Christ. You can't follow me, just follow Christ. Because I'm not Christ. I can't save you. Jesus can. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but he have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And Christ came down to save each and every one of us. All we need to do is accept him into our hearts. I call it the sinner's prayer, the ABCs of salvation. A, you want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners and need our forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge, believe, confess. And we ask Christ to come into our hearts, and we can be that athlete that we've been training for. We can accomplish that task that we've been called for. We can be committed to what God has called us to do. Also, we need the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide inside of us, and let Jesus come into our hearts. Let's pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen." Listen, I want to work with you. I want to train with you. I want me to be disciplined together. We are stronger together. I need you to contact me. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I got to get back there and start training myself some more. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great day. God bless you.